We're reading this morning from Romans chapter 14. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat, it is written. As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother, for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that would cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe, about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord God, as we open up your word, speak to us, Lord. Help us to grow in our relationship with each other and with you. Amen. So we're session 9 of 10 sessions on Romans. And today's session actually covers chapters 13 and 14. But we're going to be focusing on 14 today. But you're very welcome when you go home to open up your Bibles and have a read of chapter 13. There's a lot there, and someone could preach on it for a good, probably a couple of hours on it. But I won't, because we've got communion. So don't fear. Don't start adjusting your watches. Oh, dinner's on. But anyway. So this is a long letter. And Paul wrote this, and this letter would have been read out from beginning to end to the church. And he wrote this to friends, to people he actually knew. And if you look at the last chapter, he goes through a whole list of friends and people that he once met in different places. And they're all congregating in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire. And it was a big challenge, because the church of Rome were Gentiles. Most of them were Gentiles. And Jewish people came and joined the church. And so you had Gentile believers and Jewish believers come together. But of course they had different sets of customs, foods that they ate. Obviously Jewish people didn't eat pork. And that's why we see in this chapter things about food. Has anyone ever been to a church that's cross-cultural? It's not always easy, is it? Because you have barriers. You've got language barriers, haven't you? You've got times. People perhaps come in a bit later than normal. Prayer styles. My mum's church down in Southampton, they've got, you can almost put the church into three sections. You have a Nigerian section, a Romanian section, and everybody else. And they have had discussions on how prayer should be. And different groups think prayer should be different to one another. So it's not always easy. We've been in churches, haven't we, Evelinka, where there's been Chinese churches. And we once did a service, I can't remember if it was Park Road or in Lincoln, where the Chinese church joined us for a service, and there was translation work going on. And of course, if you've got translation work, it doubles the time of your service, because everything you say has to be said in the other language. And then, of course, the Chinese invited us for a meal so we can eat together as two churches. And one particular meal wasn't very well supported. And so it's not always easy for people to come together. But this is what was going on in the Church of Rome, Jews and Gentiles. And they had that pressure of how can we live together? How can we be together when, you know, surely you know, Jews, that you no longer have to keep away from pork. So can you imagine a community day organized by the Church of Rome having a hot dog stand? That's not going to go down well with the Jewish community, is it? So we've got all these things, music, the food that we eat, the time spent together. Even here, we're not really cross-cultural, but even here we'll have kind of ideas of what the music should be like, or whether we should have pews and chairs. And there's all sorts of things. And quite often we get arguing about silly things. Because to argue over whether we should sit on a piece of wood or a chair is really silly, but lots of churches have had those arguments. As a youth worker, one of the things that often the young people, we want lively music. That's always the one that young people say, we want lively music. And of course, people from the other end of the spectrum will say, we never have hymns. And we can have that dispute about music as well. So Paul focuses here on chapter 14 and chapter 13 about the type of community we should be. And the question we, as Eastgate Union Church, need to ask is, what type of community are we here at Eastgate Union Church? What type of church are we? What are our challenges? What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? And what do people out there say about us? What are we? What type of community are we? And so, just briefly, in chapter 13, Paul talks about the church, the type of community that we should be as we look out. So it talks about being law-abiding citizens, being beyond reproach. Now, who was in charge of Rome at the time when this letter was written? Nero. He hated Christians. He blamed them on the great fire of Rome. He threw them to the lions. He covered them in tar and set them alight as human torches. And Paul says in chapter 13, you must respect the authority because it's been put there by God. Ooh, that would have been challenging, wouldn't it? Imagine if you were in communist times in Eastern Europe and someone comes and says, oh, Stalin, you know, oh, he's a terrible man, but I tell you what, you need to respect authority. That couldn't have been easy for the church in Rome to hear. And then chapter 13, 8 to 10, Paul then focuses not just on respect and authority, but loving our neighbours out there. And finally, towards the end of chapter 13, he talks about turning away from sin and being people of integrity. He says, let us behave decently as in the daytime. Clothe yourself with the Lord. Paul likes talking about clothes. Have you noticed about that? When you read the New Testament, how many times Paul talks about clothes? He talks about Ephesians 6, the armour of God. Put on the armour. Colossians 3, clothe yourselves with the fruit of the Spirit. And here we are. Paul is saying to clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul deals in chapter 13 with everybody outside the church. And then chapter 14, he then comes and deals with the church. And he's focusing on the church family and how they should live as a family. The first major point here is we are not an island. We're not a one-man band. We're a team. Chapter 14, verse 7. None of us lives ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. Okay, we're a very individualistic culture here in Great Britain. Everything is about me and my world. We have Facebook, we have social media. I only talk to the neighbours that I want to. I don't want to talk to the next door neighbour. Everything is how I want it to. I can create my own world. And that's not reality and it's not true. And sometimes we bring that into church. What did I receive? Oh, I really enjoyed church today. I got a lot out of it. I came to church today and I put a lot into it. It's very much what can I consume? I like this church. Why? Because it's got the music I like, it's got the friends I like, it's all about what I can get. And actually the church should be about what we can give and how we can minister. So Paul is saying to the Church of Rome, you are not a one-man band. You are not an island. When I come to church, I come to church as an individual, but we worship as a collective, okay? So quite often I hear people in the charismatic movement when they want to speak in tongues and everything, and it's like, that's my gift and I can do this and that. I said, yes, but do you know that when you sing in church together, You are singing as a collective. This is not the me show, this is the us show. And we should be worshipping together and ministering together and using our gifts together. It is not a one-man band. We are not an island. And it says in 14:12 that each one of us will have to give an account to God for our lives. You and I one day will stand before God and he will reveal my thoughts, my attitudes and my motives. He will look at how I've treated other people within this fellowship. People we disagree with, people we get annoyed with. Maybe we've looked down on others. Maybe people that sit on that side look at people on that side and go, oh, it's better over this side. And maybe when we come into church, it's like, oh, he's in my seat. Maybe we've lost patience with someone. Maybe we've accused someone. Who's taken my... Someone's taken my jacket. I bet it's that person. And then someone rings you up and it's your best friend and you say, oh, I picked up your coat, by the way. I'll bring it around. Oh, God, I was wrong about that person. And so often in church we have all these things and we're all going to have to tell God all about it. It's not going to be easy. We are a family, a church. And our passage in chapter 14, do you know what it recognizes? It recognizes, yes, we are in different places spiritually. We're all Christians, but some of us have lots of knowledge of this. Some have other knowledge of this. Some are servant-hearted. Some are this. We're all in different places. And all of us, when we look at all the issues out there, there are some gray issues. There are issues that we'll disagree on. There are some fundamentals that we shouldn't, but there are some areas that we will have arguments over, debates, and even politics gets into church, and we have debates about all sorts of things. Paul is telling the church, we need to come together. So it focuses a lot on food, about clean and unclean food. And even a vegetarian diet, it mentions in the scripture. But it's quite clear, whatever side you're on, in whatever debate, whether you're a vegetarian or whether you're a meat eater, let's say, that both sides have a responsibility to be Christ-like. Which is not Paul telling the meat eaters, oh, you've got to respect the vegetarians a bit more. Paul is saying to the vegetarians too, you've got to respect the meat eaters. And meat eaters, you've got to respect the vegetarians. There is a responsibility on every single person to be Christ-like. 14:3, the one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. So we need to remember that in any debate, if you have a discussion with another person in church and it's getting a bit heated, God loves that person and God loves you. Okay? And both of you have a responsibility to be Christ-like and to behave the way that God wants you to behave. And we can apply that to music. We say one likes hymns and... The one who likes hymns must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not must not judge the one that does. And so we can apply that to all sorts of things within the church. And so often we find ourselves getting worked up over things that are not important, over petty issues. So everybody has a responsibility for doing the right thing and being Christ-like. And we will be judged by our attitudes. Chapter 14 then moves on to stumbling blocks. Doing things that could cause another to stumble. How many of us have done that? How many of us have actually made or done something that's going to cause someone to stumble. I wonder if you ever recognise this attitude where, let's just say, a political one, and it comes to prayer time, and you start praying in a group, and you want to put in what you want to say, and you think, I'll show that person. I will say, oh, Lord, I pray for this, I pray for that. But you know that you're doing it. It's a bit of performance because you're trying to make a point. How many of us have thought to ourselves, I'm going to do this. I'll show them who's boss. It's an attitude that many of us can have. We weaponize what is actually shouldn't be weaponized. But what chapter 14 is really saying is show some consideration. Paul is saying to everyone, look, show some consideration. Okay? We're all different. We're all going to have slightly different opinions. You'll have, might be a few groups here and there, but show some consideration. If you know someone is struggling with chocolate biscuits like me, don't come with a big platter of chocolates. It says in chapter 14, 19 and 20, make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. In just a moment, we're going to come to the Lord for his meal, the Lord's Supper. And it's a table where we need to put things right with God and put things right with other people. Let us be a community then that looks out for one another, that puts the other person first before ourselves, and to be Christ-like. Let's be a people that builds up and not a people that tears down. Let's pray. So Lord Jesus, we come to you, and if we're honest, there have been times when we put ourselves, our feelings and thinking first. There have been times when we've made points blatantly in church, to score points. And Lord, we will stand before you one day and to answer for these things. And we're sorry, Lord, because actually this is your church. It's not my church, it's your church. And Lord, we want to be a people, a community that considers each person with respect. Help us, Lord, to be Christ-like. Help us to live in the way that you want us to be, as Paul instructed the first church in Rome. Amen.